I never turn my microphone on. All right. This morning we are beginning a new sermon series based on 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, fight to the finish. I'm calling it that because 2 Timothy is likely Paul's last letter. Within its contents, he writes that he is confident that his life is coming to an end, and it will be taken by those in Rome that seek to destroy his witness. And it makes me think, last week we celebrated my 20th year here. And I am not sharing 2 Timothy because I have any inkling as to leaving or going or departing either this building or this earth. But at some point, we are all going to die. I hate to tell you that if no one's ever told you before. We are all going to die. And the question is, what are you going to leave as a legacy? What are you going to leave as final words? If you were able to write down a letter to a trusted friend and you knew that they were going to be the last words you were to utter, or maybe you have children, or maybe you have parents that did this, that they write a letter and say, if you're opening this letter, obviously I'm gone. These are the things I want you to know. In a way, that's what we have here. I wrote down some famous last words. Leonardo da Vinci, his last words on earth were, I have offended God and mankind because my work did not match the quality it should have. Groucho Marx, on the other hand, said, this is no way to live, and died. Bob Marley, the musician, money can't buy life. Most people don't know when their last words are going to be their last words. Famously, Elvis Presley's last words are, I'm going to the bathroom to read. I don't believe he knew that those were going to be his last words, but they are immortalized as his last words. And sometimes I think, I want to make sure that my last words aren't something superficial. And so over the next few months, we're going to be poring over Paul's likely final recorded words to his apprentice, gain an insight into what he felt was most important. And perhaps through doing that, God may inspire us to determine what is most important for us to share with others before we shed this mortal coil. In order to think about 2 Timothy, we have to know a couple of things. Who wrote it and why? And we find these things in the first seven verses. The first two verses, this letter is between two remarkable people. Jonathan? This letter is between two remarkable people. You know, when I do these overheads, I don't know what they look like on the screen. And I have come to realize that that is way too light. So next week, the background will be a little darker. But anyway, this letter is between two remarkable people. The two people are the Apostle Paul and his protege, Timothy. We have Paul. He's the writer of the letter. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. It's a lot of stuff to be said about Paul, that Paul writes about himself, that he's an apostle. Apostle is a fancy word for missionary. Apostle is a fancy word for one sent out. One who has been apostale, sent outward. And he's been sent out into the world. And actually, if we've read any of other Paul's other letters, and I'm sure Timothy knew, that he was the apostle to the Gentiles, sent out to the unbelieving world, to the secular world around. He was born Jewish, stayed Jewish for all we know, but he was the apostle to the Gentiles, the one who was sent by God to carry the gospel to the entire world. He was sent out by the will of God. It wasn't something he decided. Wasn't something he chose. As a matter of fact, he chose just the opposite in his life. If we were to read the book of Acts, we would see Paul there persecuting Christians, persecuting people of the faith. He was sent by God to share the gospel. Despite his own will, he was sent by the will of God. And the NIV then says, according to the promise of life. And really, that could also mean for the sake of the promise. And more or less, I think that's what it means. He was sent out for the sake of the promise, to declare the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. We know through this letter that he is in chains. 2 Timothy 1:16 and 17 tell us that he is in chains, that people have left him because they were ashamed of his chains. Second Timothy 2:9, that he is suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Not literally, not likely actual chains. He wasn't in ankle chains and wrist chains, chained to a wall. Likely he was under house arrest. Likely he was, if we were thinking of the vernacular of today, he had an ankle monitor. He couldn't leave the place where he was being held. He was being detained. So here we have Paul, an apostle sent out by the will of God to proclaim the promise of God in Jesus Christ. But he is now unable to accomplish that goal because he has been arrested and imprisoned. And so he is writing to Timothy, a young man who was brought to faith through Paul's preaching and teaching. He says he's my dear son, not a son of birth, but a spiritual son, that he brought him to faith. He's Paul's apprentice. He's Paul's protege. Timothy has been was following Paul, and when they went to Ephesus, Paul decided, Timothy, you stay here and lead this church and teach them what I have taught you. And so now Timothy is in Ephesus leading the church, and Paul is writing to him, greeting him with grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. But what does the Apostle Paul have to say to this leader of the church in Ephesus? In verses 3 through 7, there are four different words with the same root to them. The root is nomos, M-N-nemos. N-M-E-M-O-S. We get the word mnemonic from it. The mnemonic devices, things we use to remember. Four different words, four different times, all with the same meaning. To recall, to remember, to remind, to think about, to dwell upon. So this letter begins with four reminders. And as we read this letter, we have to understand that it's not written to us, but it is written for us. Someone, thousands of years ago, decided that we would benefit from Paul's words to Timothy. And so they included it in the canon of Scripture. They included this private letter. And ultimately, it was read before the entire church. And what does it say? What are these reminders? What are the things that Paul, first and foremost, wants Timothy to remember? Verses in verse 3. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Technically, literally, it's as I have a remembrance of you. As I hold a remembrance of you. As I think about our past together. And I am constantly thinking of our past together. And that is now informing my prayers. As I think of you in the night, as I think of you in the day, as I think about and remember what we accomplished, what we said, how we felt, what were our concerns, Paul says, as I think of you, as I have a remembrance of you, I pray for you. Paul was rightly concerned about those he discipled. Now, we are unaware completely. We don't know the fullness of all of Paul's prayers for Timothy. But likely, he prayed as he prayed for others. He prayed for his witness and his work. He prayed for his protection from the false teachers in Ephesus and elsewhere. He prayed for Timothy's blessing. He prayed for Timothy's health. He prayed for Timothy's well-being, his family, and just his growth in spiritual vitality. And it's a reminder to us that prayer is important, and we ought to be remembering others and praying for them. When someone leaves, we don't say, well, you know what? Good luck to you. See ya. But we remember. Remember that time we were together. Remember that concern you lifted up. Remember that struggle that you had. Well, I do, and I'm lifting it up. Now, you may never know the prayers that others are making for you, but others are praying for you. When I talked to Jim Smith, the former pastor here, his pastor back in the 80s, but he will talk to me, and I've met him maybe four or five times, maybe more. But he says, oh, I pray for you every Sunday. Because he knows the struggles of being in Dorchester. He knows the struggles of having a ministry family. He knows the struggles of any number of things. He knows the things that I've shared with him in the past. And he prays. And we ought to be doing the same when we remember someone. When we remember the difficulties they had. When we remember the strengths that they had. When we remember the good times that we have. We ought to be praying for them. Now, this isn't saying I pray constantly, but there isn't, Paul is saying, that would be impossible. You can't constantly pray for everybody you know. But what he's saying is, anytime you cross my mind, I bring you to the throne. And we ought to be doing the same for others. We ought to be remembering to pray for one another. The second Timothy 1:4, recalling your tears, or literally, while remembering your tears. While I am praying, I remember your tears. Now, we don't know specifically when Timothy was crying. What we do know is that Paul knew when Timothy was crying. And it could have been in Acts 20, verses 37 and 38, when the Ephesian elders wish Paul well, send him off, and they, with prayer and weeping, they send him off with the expectation, the scripture says, that they will never see him again. And maybe that's it. I saw when we departed, when we separated, when I left, that you were in tears. Maybe it was something else. We aren't sure. But part of Paul's prayer is impacted by his compassion. So much so that at the end of this letter, chapter 4, verse 9, he says, do your best to come to me quickly. He's hoping for a prayerful reunion. He's hoping that this prayerful reunion will be on earth. However, he's actually, if you look at verse 6 of chapter 4, it's probably not going to be the case. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. That chances are they will not see one another again until they see one another in glory. But Paul wants Timothy to remember that he remembers their relationship. Isn't it wonderful that people you know, that God has placed people in your life that you have shared tears with, that you have shared laughter with? Imagine what life would be like if you had no one to share your sorrows with, no one to share your joys with. And so Paul says, I remember you with tears. I remember your tears. And we ought to be remembering the relationships we have. We ought to be remembering those people who have shared their lives with us, and pray for a reunion with them. Anticipate a reunion with them, either in this world or in the next. 2 Timothy 1:5 is our third reminder. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Literally, after I have received a reminder of your faith. While I'm praying, while I'm thinking of your tears, it has caused me, in the midst of this, to serve as a reminder of your faith. He's reminded of Timothy's lineage, his heritage. He grew up with a faithful grandmother. He grew up with a faithful mother. On a number of different Mother's Days, 2 Timothy 1:5 comes out. Women of faith are important. Women of faith direct and guide young children like Timothy in the faith. His dad was a Greek, was an unbeliever by all accounts, but they had a sincere faith. And because they had a sincere faith, they passed it on to Timothy. And now Timothy has a sincere faith, a genuine faith, a real faith. And Paul is confident that his faith is real. And that's going to be important in just a moment. Paul is confident that Timothy's faith, his trust in Christ, his trust in God, his belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is real. And we need to remember or be reminded every once in a while of our legacy, of our heritage. Now, some of us grew up in the church and some of us didn't. Some of us were hell-bent on hell. And some of us lived tame lives. But all of us have a legacy. All of us have a heritage. All of us have a lineage. All of us have a story. Paul's writing to say, I want you to remember where you've come from. And as we look at 2 Timothy, I want you to do that work. To remember where you have come from. To remember who shared their faith with you. To remember when you first heard. To remember what you first believed. Remember what you now hold dear. Timothy's faith in Christ is real. But Paul is now worried that he will be sent reeling by the things that are going on. So there's one last reminder in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. I remind you. I am commanding you to remember. Now, it's important to take verse 5 and verse 6. I am persuaded now lives in you also. This real and genuine faith, that's not what's in question here. The question is, will Timothy fan into flame this gift that he was given? Over the summer, our family went camping and we tried to start a fire and it sort of smoked and smoldered for a minute and we blew on it, we fanned it, we flapped our hands and paper plates at this thing, but you know what? It wasn't strong enough, it burnt out. It's sort of what Paul is saying here. You have this gift. It's not your faith. Your faith is real. Your faith is sure. Your faith is certain. But this gift is in danger of dying out. This gift is in danger of no longer being effective toward what it's intended to do. So you need to feed it. You need to breathe into it. You need to fan it and bring it red hot. Fan into flame. He wants to bring back to Timothy's mind God's gift. In a sense, God's gift is the Holy Spirit. When we are given new life, we are given the Spirit. And the Spirit indwells us, and we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, a deposit, an inheritance from God that helps us and teaches us and guides us. And so in a sense, Paul is saying, fan into flame the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But there is a specific gift that I think Paul is talking about here. And it's different for everyone, and it's not the same for you as it is for me. That there is some gift that Timothy has that was given by Paul through the laying on of hands. Likely it's the gift of proclamation. Likely it's the gift of pastoral ministry in Timothy's case. Don't give up. Don't lose faith. Timothy did not lack passion. He still had a fire burning. Just wasn't very big. He had passion. He didn't have power. And for maybe some of us, that's the same thing. We still have a burning. We still have a passion. We just don't have the energy. We don't have the fuel to motivate us to act in ways that God would be honored. So he finishes by reminding him, you are not given a spirit of timidity. You're not given a spirit of shyness, of cowardice, of cowering in the corner. Trembling. You're given a spirit, the spirit, of power and love and self-discipline or sobriety. We need to be reminded of God's true nature and God's true calling in our lives. Reminder to pray and be praying. Reminder to remember the relationships. A reminder to confirm your faith. And a reminder to do what God calls you to do. In the weeks ahead, 2 Timothy is going to share why Paul is so concerned. There's false prophets in the midst of 2 Timothy, in the midst of the church in Ephesus. There's trouble a-brewing. And he needs to remember that he's being prayed for. That he needs to remember that there are people around him. That he needs to remember that God's worthy of trust, no matter the circumstances. And he needs to remember the nature of God as powerful and as loving. Our sermon in a sentence is this: we can all benefit from a reminder of where God has brought us and what he has taught us. Paul remembers Timothy's needs, his tears, his heritage, his commission. Paul remembers the situation in Ephesus with its false teachers and its faltering believers. And he remembers Timothy, who has been called to minister to them. Paul also reminds us of the nature of God, the one who indwells us with the spirit of power and love and soundness of mind. And we ought to likewise remember the words that God has for us. He has people praying for us, for you. He has people who are remembering your tears. He knows all that you've been through and all that you can accomplish. And he has enabled his spirit to dwell in you and strengthen you for the days ahead. Those are the things we need to remember. As the world gets difficult, as our lives face challenges, we need to remember that people are praying for us, that people are recalling our tears, that God has saved us and called us to himself. Imagine if we forgot how far God has brought us and we have forgotten all that God has taught us. May we never do that. May these words be a reminder to you as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.